delivered just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today. At the Christian Research Institute, we do what we do because truth matters. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And do remember, available right now for your donation of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, I'll send you a personalized copy of the Creation Answer Book to you, a family member, or a friend. Also for those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, and we need many of you to do that today, this week, for the rest of this month, which is just about over, I'll send you the Creation Answer Book, again, for those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. You can check this out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. I thought today, particularly in light of Hurricane Sandy, I wanted to talk about another storm with two guests today who have dubbed this not just a storm, but the perfect storm. It is the coalescing of factors that has caused an incredible impact in our culture that we are so often unaware of. Joining me to talk about this, Don Simmons. He's the CEO and chairman of Crossroads Television in Canada. And Jerry Johnston, who's the executive director of Crossroads USA. When I was in Canada recently on Crossroads Television, Don shared this story with me. It captivated me, and I wanted you to hear it as well. We're going to discuss four factors creating the perfect storm. Good to have both of you with us.
Good to be here, Hank.
Thank you, Hank.
Don, I remember sitting at lunch when you shared with me these four factors leading to the perfect storm, the first of which was diluted values, the second, failing faith foundations. Then you talked about media dominance. And then you talked about the personalization of technology. I want you to cash that out for us, beginning with diluted values.
Yes. Now, we're in the media side of things, Hank, as you've said. And what's really driving all of our activities at the moment is how we see the culture and the needs within the culture. And this first storm of diluted values is really a storm that really, you get very little disagreement with. If you could measure some kind of quotient on people's joy or happiness, or you could have a quotient that measures relationships, or a quotient that measures morality, those graphs would be heading down. And we know if through measurement, through polling, through surveys, reputable surveys, that the acceptability of certain moral behaviors are creating an environment of deteriorating values, diluted values. And it's especially pertinent for young people as they're transitioning from children to adults. They come into this interesting context where they don't know right from wrong, and there's lots of models that are suggesting that confusion. We know, for example, that almost 7 out of 10 people in society find it morally acceptable to divorce. We find that 6 out of 10 find it morally acceptable to have sex between an unmarried man and woman. Four out of 10 people find it morally acceptable to have an abortion. Shockingly, 15% of people now find it morally acceptable even to take one's own life. So I call this the door ajar problem. As we're trying to teach a young generation on what is right and wrong, the door of diluted values is wide open.
You were talking in Canada about the statistic, I believe it was in 1900, with respect to divorce and where it is today. That was a stunning statistic to me.
Yes, back, the first measurement of the number of divorces, there was less than 25 divorces in all of Canada when it was first measured in the early 90s. For a number of years, the last 20 or 30 years, the divorce rate has exceeded 50%. Now, I will say that in the last decade, the divorce rate has gone down. So at first glance, there may be this glimmer of hope, but our Canadian census was just completed in September, and it shows, of course, such a high number of young people choosing to live together and not get married at all. And, you know, it is understandable from the standpoint that if they've seen their parents or people close to them in bitter marriage breakups, one can see the logic of going, why would we? And that's what I mean, this context of acceptability of some of these diluted values is really confusing young people and almost causing them to not desire the truth, as a matter of fact.
So many people are looking at Sandy and talking about it as the perfect storm, so many factors coming together. It's not just diluted values. You're talking about failing faith foundations.
Yes, and in fact, you know, it's not the first generation of diluted values. If we go back in history, we find different eras, different cultures with this swinging values. But, you know, with the context we have now, unfortunately, the second storm really suggests that we haven't put underneath our young people the type of faith foundations that would be required to actually face the storms that we've handed to them. And it's the combination of those storms that is a concern. In other words, if there's a cultural storm of diluted values and young people had a foundation of faith, they would recognize what was right and wrong and be able to withstand that. Without the foundations underneath them, then they effectively become casualties of the incorrect thinking that permeates the culture, and it's the two together. It's interesting because we just launched a recent study in Canada, which actually followed soon after a study that the Barna Group had completed, where both actually studied young people that were Christian young people that regularly attended church, but measured what occurred in their lives between the age of 18 and 30. And as you know, David Kinnaman, the CEO of Barna, actually called a book which showed the results of that study, You Lost Me, representing this rather disappointing conclusion where the church itself and matters of faith really didn't impact young people so that they made it their life choice. In Canada, we've called the study Hemorrhaging Faith, which is a very ominous sort of a descriptor for the fact that the survey shows us that only 1 in 4 of young people that believed in God when they were teens went regularly to church between the age of 18 and 34. Only 1 in 4 continue to pursue faith as their choice in their life. And so now there are some that are undecided, but there are also a lot that are turning to atheism, as a matter of fact, as a result of things that have come into their life during their young adult years. So it's this concern over a lack of foundation hitting a context of diluted values that is really messing a lot of young people up. And
so in other words, what you're saying is there isn't the infrastructure to withstand not only the storm of diluted values, but also the storm that you have designated by the moniker media dominance.
Yes, and this, well, now we come to the third storm. And this media dominance really has two aspects to it. One are the messages of the media, and the other aspect is the volume of media. So if it was the volume of media that our culture was consuming and the messages were positive, then one could, you know, one could accept that. But the messages are so destructive and negative and are in such volume. My goodness, young people now consume on average 7.5 hours per day of media. In Canada, we just completed a recognition that in the last quarter of 2010, Canadian families used the internet more than watched TV for the first time in history. But the amount of television they watched increased. So when you sum up those two categories of media consumption, it's just such a dominating influence in the lives of most people in the culture, but especially young people. So you have this context of diluted values with a, for whatever reason, a weakened faith foundation under even the young people that we produce in our churches. And then at the same time, they're enveloped with this dominating media that just pounds them with messages that are not the truth that we believe.
And as in every storm, there is a silver lining. We'll get to that in just a moment. But touch on, if you will, this fourth storm, which has to do with the whole concept of the personalization of technology. This, to me, is not only the greatest of the storms, but it seems to me to provide the greatest of opportunities, which I want to talk about after the break. But right now, talk about that storm and the significance for families, for Christianity in general.
Yes, and this, now I come from the technology world, Hank. You know, that was, we made our living in high technology businesses, primarily in wireless up in Canada. And so, you know, technology advances are not normally all that surprising. In fact, we've been able to spot those trends and take advantage of them. But this personalizing of technology is a fairly new storm. It's only 2 or 3 years old. We have not yet seen in any way the full ramifications of this. And it's largely driven by the fact that most people now can, in their own hands, hold all of the horsepower that they would need, which operates on their PDA or their iPhone or whatever form of personal communicator they use. And it is so personalizing life that all of these negative influences go direct to the ears and direct to the eyes of our young people. And let's take Apple, for example. In one sense, I don't like to endorse a product necessarily, but the innovations that Apple has brought, we can't argue with. They're a reality now. And for example, let's take the fact that they're the world's most valuable corporation, more valuable than Exxon. They've sold over 90 million iPhones in the last 9 months. There are almost 600,000 applications that are available for an iPhone, making the phone into, well, let's face it, almost whatever. And all of this horsepower is in the hands of very young people that can access all of what the internet has to offer. One of our producers was talking to some church young people about their habits in terms of looking at pornography. And the young people said, "What do you keep asking us about this for? We We watch it all the time on the bus. We trade it around at school. And it is just so accessible that there's almost not even a reference that that might be a harmful harmful activity for them.
Talking to Don Simmons, and we're going to bring Jerry Johnston into the conversation in just a few moments. We are coming to a station break. On the other side of the break, I want to talk about the silver lining in the storm, because on the one hand, the personalization of technology is a blight. On the other, it is a blessing. But Christians have to seize the opportunity now. They need to understand what's going on, how they can utilize technology for the propagation of the gospel, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. As always, you can contact the Christian Research Institute on the World Wide Web at equip.org via the mail. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and resource consultants are standing by. That number, 888-7000, and the letter C. I'll be back in just a few moments with more.
Does Jesus have bluish-green eyes, brown hair, and a rainbow-colored horse? Little Colton Burpo thinks so, after experiencing the equivalent of a near-death experience at the age of 3. His experience is even the subject of a best-selling book. What's really going on with near-death experiences? Find out in Life After Life After Life, the sneak peek booklet for Hank's upcoming new book on the afterlife. It's our gift in appreciation for your ministry support today. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give today. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. It seems like a no-brainer. If God is a God of love, there's no way He'd condemn anyone to suffer eternally in hell simply for not believing in Jesus, right? Christians who believe in an eternal hell have been accused of following a cruel and unjust God. Millions of atheists claim it's the reason they can't embrace Christianity. Do we need to abandon the concept of hell? Hank's new book, Afterlife, to be released next spring, answers this and many other questions about our eternal future. But because you need to be equipped now with answers about hell, we're offering you a sneak peek booklet, Life After Life After Life, for your ministry support today. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely listener supported, so your gift matters. Be one of the first to have your copy of Life After Life After Life. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. mission of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is clear: to defend the reliability of Scripture, give reasons for faith, and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. In a world that is increasingly hostile to the gospel, we will not compromise for the sake of political correctness or popularity, but we are determined to stand for truth no matter what the cost. If this uncompromising devotion to truth resonates with you, won't you please join us? We depend on faithful monthly supporters to continue this crucial charge God has entrusted us with. To join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team, just call 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, now let's return to the Bible Answer Man with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we're going to go back to Don Simmons, CEO and chairman of Crossroads Television in Canada, and Jerry Johnston, who's the executive director of Crossroads USA. In just a moment, I want to mention that I'm going to be at Tabernacle Baptist Congregation in Massachusetts, November 16th through the 18th. Look forward to seeing our friends there. You can check this out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Also, if you have not subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you can do so immediately in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Right now, we have a special offer code TRUTH. Get a one-year subscription to the journal for $35 plus a free promotional issue. That's 7 issues for only $35. Subscribe online at equip.org. And remember to use the special offer code TRUTH. Talking to Don Simmons and Jerry Johnston, who we're going to bring into the conversation in just a moment, about the perfect storm. 4 factors all related to technology in one way or another that have formed, as it were, the perfect, in fact, a deadly storm. But in that storm, as always, there is a silver lining. And that silver lining is that we either harness technology for the good of the gospel, or we lose Western civilization. So we're not talking about a small issue here. We're talking about Western civilization built on the DNA of a biblical worldview. It hangs in the balance. Is that too strong, or is that a fair statement, Jerry?
It's absolutely fair, and I think that's why we as believers, and listening to Don Simmons, this clarion call from Crossroads Christian Communications based in Toronto, there is an unprecedented opportunity for the church today. This technology can be harnessed by the church for evangelism and for doing, Hank, what you do so well, teaching the fundamentals of the faith so that we don't have this massive fallout of 3 out of every 4 people who become indoctrinated because of the truth that you present, that Crossroads presents. That's why we're here, and that's why we share a common bond together.
You said something, Don, that was riveting to me a few months ago when we were talking about the perfect storm. You said this happened on my watch, and therefore, as a man in his 60s, I believe, same age about that I am, maybe you're a little younger, I can't remember. But at any rate, you're saying that we bear some culpability for this perfect storm.
Well, when we think of the storms, the 4 storms we've just described, although there's this inclination in the human heart to go against God's ways, most of what we've just talked about in terms of the value deterioration and the media dominance and not putting the right foundation, it's really happened in the last 30 years or so. And during that time, I've been a Christian father, pretty dedicated father, a businessman who believes in exercising my faith in the marketplace, and actually a Christian leader of various ministries. And so, yes, without trying to sugarcoat it, this has been on my watch. The last 30 years is when this perfect storm has been brewing. And in fact, being in the wireless industry, we've actually created the infrastructure for a lot of these messages to be communicated. I should say also, Hank, that this has become very personal to me, because I'm a hockey coach in our small community at the high school, and we only have one high school in our town, so you can imagine with a group of Canadians, hockey's big, and the high school team is quite a special aspect of a community. And earlier this year, one of my hockey players took his own life. And as we've unpacked that, by the way, our motto is to win at hockey and win at life. So imagine being a coach who carries that motto, and for 20 years have coached hockey in my community, and instead of helping win at life, one of my players took his life. And it's probably that experience more than anything else that has allowed me to crystallize these four storms, because he was a casualty, actually. He was sunk in his life by those four storms all converging on him. So it's become very personal. But you talked about the opportunity. You see, my 15-year-old daughter can create a YouTube channel which can access almost 3 billion users if they choose to watch it. So at virtually no cost, a 15-year-old has command of communications now virtually to 40 or 50% of the entire world. It's quite a remarkable thing. And with the personalizing nature of technology, the very horsepower that is taking a lot of our young people down can actually be used for good. And so if we can create the type of content that is relevant, that carries Christian faith and values in a way that is attractive and high quality and stimulating to young minds, then we can use that same power that is impacting them negatively, use that same power for God, and we can do it quite quickly because we can get a message out extremely quickly with today's technology.
And we have to harness that technology, Jerry. I mean, we think about the power of radio. It's a very potent medium today, as it has been for many years. Both of you know a whole lot more about this than I do when it comes to television. It's a powerful medium. But you're talking about technology advancing rapidly, and if we do not seize the future, like Christian leaders Ed Atzinger at Salem Broadcasting and Stuart Epperson, they had a vision for how to utilize Christian television. David Maines in Canada had a vision for Christian television. I should say that Ed Atzinger and Stuart Epperson had a vision for Christian radio. Rich Bott, and people like that had a vision for how to harness those mediums in their epoch of time. Again, still powerful mediums today, but we're saying that if we do not harness technology, social media and the like in the future, we're going to drift into irrelevance as a Christian community.
Don Simmons' vision at Crossroads has coined a phrase, transmedia. And what I love about what Crossroads is doing, not just entering the U.S., the initiative that I have the privilege to lead, but really creating internet channels 24 hours a day to play to that 3 billion plus crowd that our internet accessed. Crossroads is doing that now, harnessing that library of 9,000 interviews that's all being digitized as we work here today in Charlotte. I mean, the opportunity now is at a whole new zenith. The horizon has all changed. And I believe God is raising up in the church, just as we were with a businessman in Charlotte today, people that are sick and tired of where the country's going. We're losing this young generation, and they want to do something about it. And Hank, that's why your ministry is so crucial, and your future expansion is so crucial, because your voice is needed. And Don talks about all ages at all stages, multiple media created content for transmedia.
We think about leaders like Chuck Colson. I remember coming back from China and talking about the persecuted church and the rapid growth of Christianity in China. And I was talking to Chuck about this and almost hyperventilating about the great growth of the church in China and God's move in the East. And Chuck said something to me that was very sobering. He said, yes, that is wonderful, but we cannot lose Western civilization. Western civilization has a heritage. It has a heritage of thousands of years. In the East, people are coming out of syncretistic religions. They're coming out of ancestor worship and a whole conglomeration of belief structures, and therefore they come into Christianity, they have a lot of vibrancy, but not deep roots. We have the deep roots in Western civilization. We can't lose that. And that's really what your vision entails. It's saying, on the one hand, you can curse the darkness. On the other hand, we can build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm.
And we must build a lighthouse in the midst of gathering storms, the perfect storm, as a matter of fact. Because the nature of a perfect storm is the convergence of storms, which creates such a multiplying effect that usually people get caught in it are casualties. And that's why we're not just applying rhetoric to our conversation here. We must enter the heart of that storm directly. And we'll do that with the power of God. It's a giant we're facing, but we face it with the power of God. And so he can take resources and multiply them. And I believe he'll use technology to multiply his message of love to peoples. It's interesting you mentioned the Chinese culture, because the problem we're talking about is not just protecting our own Western civilization either, because the internet is a great leveler globally. As a matter of fact, we had a delegation, I won't say what country, but from an Asian country, not necessarily a Christian country, who came to see us to ask how or what we would have to be an antidote to the messages from Western culture that were impacting their culture and their young people. This is not just something that's geographically limited, Hank. The internet carries these messages globally, and more, the antidote here in Western culture will be used around the world also, because that's really the type of messages that need to be counteracted.
I'm talking to Jerry Johnston. He's the executive director of Crossroads USA, and Don Simmons, who's the CEO chairman of Crossroads. By the way, you can check him out on the web, crossroads.ca, on the World Wide Web. And we're talking about a perfect storm, not only talking about the coalescing of factors that can be devastating to our culture, but we're indeed having this conversation because this is the time to sound a clarion call to action. And I've often said on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the gospel's free, but someone has to put in the plumbing. Mm-hmm. So this is about people who are willing to invest resources into kingdom enterprises that have a vision and have a means of building ladders to that vision. Now, visions are wonderful, but you have to have ladders to the visions, and you have to have the resources necessary to carry out big visions. The reason I have Don and Jerry on today is because we're talking about a big storm. We're also talking about a big vision, and we're alerting the body of Christ to the storm, because we can, in some sense, suffer from cognitive dissonance. On the one hand, we have our altars, our churches, and we are at ease while people are perishing. We can be like that in Charlotte, North Carolina right now. The storm is not affecting us, but up the seaboard in the U.S., there are people who are suffering. We have to look at this cogently, clearly, and we have to do something. This is not a time for apathy. We'll be talking about this more in days to come. In just a few moments, I'll be taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number, as always, to dial 888-ASK-HANK. Be back in just a moment. Please don't touch that dial.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but did you know that you can connect with us 24/7 with Web 2.0 technologies? The Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast invite you to join us in community and dialogue on the internet. You can find us at YouTube, follow us on Twitter, or become a Facebook fan and explore all that we have to offer by going to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or, as always, you can contact us by phone at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man returns after this short break. Don't touch that dial. It seems like a no-brainer. If God is a God of love, there's no way He'd condemn anyone to suffer eternally in hell simply for not believing in Jesus, right? Christians who believe in an eternal hell have been accused of following a cruel and unjust God. Millions of atheists claim it's the reason they can't embrace Christianity. Do we need to abandon the concept of hell? Hank's new book, Afterlife, to be released next spring, answers this and many other questions about our eternal future. But because you need to be equipped now with answers about hell, we're offering you a sneak peek booklet, Life After Life After Life, for your ministry support today. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely listener-supported, so your gift matters. Be one of the first to have your copy of Life After Life After Life. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The greatest apologetic for Christianity is its founder. All that the Lord Jesus was, said, and did. A natural avenue for Christian apologetics to Muslims, then, is to contrast the words and works of Jesus and Muhammad. Other topics include, did Daniel accurately predict a succession of nations? Sci-fi, free will, and the problem of evil. What has poetry to do with evangelism? A summary critique. Lawrence M. Krauss's A Universe from Nothing. Arthur Goldwag's The New Hate, John Gribben's Alone in the Universe, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Hank's new book, Afterlife, will be off the presses in the spring, but you don't have to wait to learn his Bible-based answers to some of today's most controversial questions about life after death. In appreciation for your ministry support today, we'll send you a sneak peek booklet, Life After Life After Life. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely listener-supported, so your gift today means more of the straight talk about the tough issues you've come to depend on. Go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll be taking your questions in this segment of the broadcast also. Again, tomorrow we'll be taking your questions live on air. As always, the number to dial to get your question answered, 888-ASK-HANK, that translates to 888-275-4265. Want to go to Jack in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Hank.
Your question.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, and thank you for this show. It's probably the best one on radio. I'm just wondering or curious to hear what you have to say on being married here while we're alive. What happens to that when we die? And also, how does that affect people that have been divorced or married, you know, 2, 3, whatever times?
Well, you know, I've often talked about this from the perspective that Earth is the breeding colony, heaven is the homeland, and therefore, according to Scripture, there is no marriage in heaven. But oftentimes when we hear that, we think that the relationships that we'll have with our loved ones in some sense will be diminished or compromised Nothing could be further from the truth. Our relationships will be enhanced dramatically in heaven, which is to say, if you can think about the best kind of relationship, the apex of your relationship with your wife and kids, it will be magnified many times in eternity, beyond what we can think or hope for. So we won't be married, but our relationships will be greatly enhanced.
Thanks, Hank.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bob in Howell, Michigan, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Hank. Appreciate your show. Hey, I read your article last night in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal about Daniel, and I know that 8:23 refers to the king Antiochus. I was just wondering if I could get your take on this. Do you think that that verse could have a double prophecy and be speaking about the forthcoming Antichrist?
Well, you know, if you read my book, Has God Spoken, I talk about the bankruptcy of double fulfillment. However, there is such a thing biblically as typological prophecy. And so you see in the New Testament that there is the nature, the person, and work of Jesus Christ as a portrait drawn in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament. Therefore, if you look at the virgin with child prophecy from Isaiah, you find Matthew saying this is to fulfill what was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. That's not a double fulfillment. That is typological fulfillment. Unless we understand the majesty of typological fulfillment, we don't see the full beauty of the tapestry of Scripture. But as far as Antiochus is concerned, yes, Daniel was looking down the corridor of time 400 years and saw the advent of Antiochus IV Epiphanes, saw his desecration of the temple, but also saw freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus. Jesus does the same thing in the New Testament. Instead of looking 400 years down the corridor of time, he looks a generation down the corridor of time and sees what was fulfilled by the prophet Daniel in the 2nd century BC happening again. This time, it's not just desecration, but it's total destruction. The temple, Jerusalem, the very edifice that gave the Jews their sociological and spiritual significance, destroyed. Not one stone here will be left on another, said Jesus. And what's very interesting about this is that Jesus looked back to Daniel and said, "So when you see, standing in the holy place, the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand." So Jesus is pointing back to something that was emblazoned on the minds of the Jews. In fact, even today, Hanukkah is a celebration of freedom of the Jews under Judas Maccabeus. He looks back at that to warn his hearers about what was going to happen 40 years hence. Now, will there be a future abomination of desolation? Well, that's a question that Christians debate vigorously. Obviously, they don't have to divide over. In my view, that prophecy has been fulfilled both in a graphic fulfillment in the 2nd century and in a typological fulfillment and a direct fulfillment in the 1st century, and there's no need to believe that there is going to be an abomination of desolation in the 21st century. But, again, that is one of those issues that people vigorously debate. They don't have to divide over. In my book, Has God Spoken?, I give the evidence for the fulfillment in the 2nd century, the evidence for the fulfillment in the 1st century, and I come down on the side that there's no reason to believe that there's going to be an abomination of desolation in the 21st century.
Makes absolute sense. Thanks so much. A lot to chew on. Great article, by the way.
You got it. Thank you so much. And again, the Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. You can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Sheila next. She's listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I have two questions about divorce. One being the scenario, two people are married, one wants a divorce, the other one does not, but gets no say in the divorce going through. The person who wanted the divorce gets remarried to someone else. Is that remarriage recognized by God? Is it sinful? Is it valid? Is question one. Question two, what about the spouse who didn't want the divorce but had no choice in it? What are their obligations now to their former spouse? Can that person remarry? Are they still bound by the vow that they made, even though they don't have somebody willing to fulfill it on the other side?
Well, you know, divorce is always biblically because of the hardness of our hearts. So the ultimate good is reconciliation, but reconciliation only takes place when two parties are involved. Someone who is willing to reconcile and someone wanting to be reconciled. It is a two-way street for reconciliation to take place and true forgiveness to be effected. Two parties are involved. But as to a specific answer to the second part of your question, let me say this. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 deals with it very specifically. If the unbeliever leaves, the believer is not bound in that circumstance. So you are free. But the greatest good is always to leave the door open for reconciliation until that door is irrevocably closed. Sometimes that door is irrevocably closed through death. Sometimes the other party gets married. Sometimes there's just no possibility for reconciliation. But as far as the specifics of your situation are concerned, I would be remiss if I tried to give you an electronic answer. I think this is the kind of thing that takes a real pastor with boots on the ground, someone that knows your circumstance, your situation, and can give you counsel within the context of the local church. And I want to just for a moment ask Jerry about this as well. Jerry, you've been a pastor for many years, and you recognize that it's very easy for a radio personality to give an answer, but it's much more significant for a person to have this kind of situation resolved within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church where a pastor or committed lay people, boots on the ground as it were, can actually deal with the person and all the ramifications of what's going on through counsel that comes within the parameters of a biblical worldview.
Pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and just the careful exegesis of it. And then to sit down with couples. I mean, we've been there many, many times. And Christy and I have echo exactly what you've said, but that local pastor, as long as he's committed to the authority of the Word of God, no one can take his place.
We're going to leave it at that. I want to get back to Jerry Johnston and Don Simmons with respect to the perfect storm as we close out the broadcast today. Do you see any parallels between a physical storm like Sandy ravaging the U.S., the casualties involved, but also the rescue teams that are involved? The same thing that's happening in a physical sense right now has a parallel, I believe, from a spiritual standpoint as well.
Well, I think that's a great recognition, a good reminder, because we're having this program actually today when it's front and center on all of our all of the news stations, you know, what's going on. And of course, there's a few lessons to us there. First of all, not everyone is a casualty of the storm, and those that aren't should be thankful and, of course, lend a hand. Secondly, there is a unifying, there's an absolute unifying unification that happens as we face such a challenge and come around it together, recognizing that you know, we have to batten down the hatches and we have to have a battle plan ready. And for those that get caught in the storm and can't get out themselves, hopefully, just like our first responders, we're there to assist. You know, we believe that every person is on a spiritual journey. And lest we think that anyone is fully developed and mature until eternity, Really, we believe that every single person is on a unique spiritual journey. And it could be that someone's hostile to God at this moment in time. It could be that they're seeking Him. It could be that they already believe. But every one of those people is on a journey with a prospect for advance. And as we use the media, the power of it, the very thing that is creating this storm, to bring a message, a clear message of God's love, we would hope that utilizing every possible distribution method, whether that's a personal communicator, television, radio, whatever form on the internet or social media, we simply pray that the relevance of that message basically engages with a person wherever they are on their spiritual journey and helps them advance toward a personal and loving relationship with God Himself.
Don Simmons, CEO, Chairman of Crossroads Television in Canada, Jerry Johnston, Executive Director of Crossroads USA, thank you very much for your contribution.
And Hank, we need you, and I want to say on behalf of the body of Christ just how important you are to all your listeners. I want to just say, not a greater ministry that's standing in apologetics worthy of our support. And we, on behalf of Crossroads, just say, keep on keeping on. We're with you all the way.
Thank you, my friend. And
thank you, Hank.
You got it done. Love your clear clarion call. It's a call to action. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And if you do not have the sneak peek preview booklet, Life After Life After Life, check it out on the World Wide Web, available for your gift through the remainder of this month. Look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow with answers to your questions live on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Stay tuned for that.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources and information to help sharpen your discernment skills. Not only do we provide books, videos, and informative articles, but you can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived shows, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also sign up for our weekly e-newsletter and receive special benefits. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. It seems like a no-brainer. If God is a God of love, there's no way He'd condemn anyone to suffer eternally in hell simply for not believing in Jesus, right? Christians who believe in an eternal hell have been accused of following a cruel and unjust God. Millions of atheists claim it's the reason they can't embrace Christianity. Do we need to abandon the concept of hell? Hank's new book, Afterlife, to be released next spring, answers this and many other questions about our eternal future. But because you need to be equipped now with answers about hell, we're offering you a sneak peek booklet, Life After Life After Life, for your ministry support today. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely listener supported, so your gift matters.
Be one of the first to have your copy of Life After Life After Life. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.